turn to John. John chapter number 15. John chapter number 15. And it has been a great week. I have really enjoyed being here this week and seeing what God has been doing throughout the week. It's just been great. I've enjoyed getting to do some of the free time activities with y'all and just finding out about you, learning about you, talking to you, all those things. And there's a good part of me that says, good night. Wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be great if we could just keep that going? Wouldn't that be great? I mean, man, you could come back next week and then the next week and then maybe we should just live here. I mean, wouldn't that be awesome? Well, we can't do that. You know why? Because some of you, you're wearing clothes right now that I saw you in earlier this week. Okay? And I know what that means. All right? That means you, yeah. Yeah, you need to go home. You need to wash them. All right? But let's put it this way. What if you go home not just because you have to wash clothes, but how about you go home? Could you have the same kind of life at home that you had this week? You say, oh, we can't do that. We can't do that because Brother Fry is not coming with us. Well, I hate to tell you this, but if God did a work in your heart this week, Brother Fry didn't do it. You say, well, listen, if I could just stay here at Servant's Heart, oh, man. Okay, well, I can't stay here. Fine. Well, let me just take Servant's Heart with me. Hey, Servant's Heart didn't change your life this week. You say, all right, I want to take my counselor. Hey, tell you this, your counselor doesn't want to go with you. They don't. They're dumb. They've had their time. But maybe you're thinking, if I could take my counselor, man, my life would be incredibly better. No, it really wouldn't, because that your counselors, they go through the same struggles you do, and your counselor didn't change your life this week. Some of you are thinking, oh, I want to take Brother Glenn home. You do not want to take me home. All right? That it doesn't work like that. If I was in a pet store, they'd say, do not feed. All right? It's one of those things. All right? You just don't want that. And besides that, I didn't change your life this week. You want to know something? God could have changed your life this week without this camp, without Brother Fry, without your counselor, and without this preacher. That's how good God is. And when you go home, the same things that God did in your heart this week, God could keep doing when you go home. You say, but you don't understand what kind of home I'm going back to. You're right, I don't. But I do understand from the Word of God that the good God who worked in your heart this week is able to go home with you, and He's able to continue to work in your heart when you go home. You know, I've met teenager after teenager around the country that have said something like this to me sometime after camp. I run into them. And I have met some that have said, Brother Clay, I remember what God started at camp. Oh, you want to know something incredible? God has continued what He started at camp. And man, I am just living. Remember last night we talked about the best possible life I could ever live. But then at the same time, I have met teenagers from the same camps, the same amount of time later, that have told me things like this. Brother Glenn, it didn't work. Brother Glenn, I made decisions at camp, and they didn't stick. I tried, and I tried, and I tried, and I tried, and I failed. What's the difference? The difference is something I like to call spiritual suicide. Now, I hate suicide. I had preached, years ago, I preached in a camp in Ontario. And the week that I preached, there were three or four kids there, siblings, and their dad was a prominent preacher in Canada in a big church. And 4 weeks before camp, their daddy committed suicide. I've been at a church in Idaho where the other pastor in town had walked up the mountain the day before the meeting started, put a pistol to his head, pulled the trigger. I have met people who had family members that have committed suicide. And suicide is never the answer. It's not the unpardonable sin, but it's never God's plan. It's never God's answer. It doesn't make things better. It always makes things worse. But understand, suicide is not just someone ending their life. When you just study the word suicide, you find that really suicide is an out, a decision that somebody makes not for the better of what they were hoping. I've heard of things like economic suicide, financial suicide. Really what it is that it's a choice somebody makes to shoot themselves in the foot and to make life really bad for themselves simply because of the poor decisions that they make. Young person, listen, the decisions that you have made this week will only, by God's grace, according to God's promises, will be in your life to prosper you, to keep you successful, to follow God. And did you know that those decisions and those types of decisions that God has helped you this week make based on the promises of Scripture, that same God is able to continue His working. But if you do not understand the principles that we're going to look at this morning for the few minutes that we have, then you will go home and within a couple of weeks, maybe a couple of days, maybe a couple of months, or maybe a couple of years, if you do not by choice make a decision from John chapter number 15, you're going to find yourself shooting yourself in the foot, so to speak. You're going to find yourself setting your own self up for failure because you didn't follow some of the most simple truths in the Word of God. We're in John chapter number 15. Let's stand together and we'll read the first few verses of the chapter and then we'll pray, be seated, and we'll get right into it very quickly. Notice what the Bible says in John 15. Let's start reading in verse number 1. You follow along with me as I read. Jesus says, I am the vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that he may bring forth more fruit. Now are ye clean through the word. Some of you, you got clean this week. That's great. Keep going. Which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do something. Without me, ye do nothing. Father, help us now. I pray that we would not check out. May we not start our engines to get on the road. But right now, in just a few minutes we have, would you help us to grasp these eternal truths that we continue to change our lives once we get on the road, once we get home, and once we get back to just normal life. Help us, I pray. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. In John 15, he says in verse number 5, he says, without me, ye can do nothing. Yet so many teenagers try to go home and keep their decisions. Young person, if you go home and you try really hard to keep your decisions for staying in your Bible, it'll last for a few days, maybe a few weeks, maybe even a few months. But it probably won't last beyond that. Some of you made decisions to take your hands off what God already owns this week, yourself, and just serve God. Well, that will last maybe for a little while, but it won't last long if you just keep trying. Maybe you say, I made decisions about what I've been looking at, where I've been going, what I've been doing. I've made decisions this week on the friends that I have, and are they pushing me closer to Jesus or drawing me away from Him? Or maybe you've made decisions on what to do with the hurt that's been done to you and just to give it to God. You've made decisions this week either for God or against God, and if you want your decisions for God to last and continue, then you're going to have to understand, you can't keep your decision by yourself. You can't do it. You know, the Bible illustration here in John chapter number 15 is a branch that's come disconnected from the vine. It's almost like this. Maybe you did this when you were a kid. I hope you haven't done it recently. But my girls do this all the time, especially my youngest. She goes and she finds a stick that she likes. She picks up that stick. She says, "This stick needs to be a tree." And she goes over and she digs a little hole and she sits the stick inside that little hole, and she pushes that dirt up around that little stick, and then she gets some water in her little watering can, and she waters it, and she says, "Tomorrow it will be a tree." You know it won't, and you know better. You know that once the stick has fallen from the tree, the stick is dead, it's dying, it cannot grow. It cannot produce fruit. Notice what the Bible says here when you go to verse number 3. "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." Get this and don't miss it. When God cleans you up because you got right with God about sin, when God does that through the Bible, that's the first step to growth. Notice what else he says in verse number 3. He says in verse number 3, "You're clean." Verse number 2, he says, "Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit." God doesn't want you to stop getting clean. He doesn't want you to stop growing. He wants you to continue. He wants you to make more decisions for Christ, even when you go home. He wants you to help others make decisions for Christ when you go home. He wants you to continue growing, to continue to bear fruit. He wants you to continue to walk with Him. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 7. "If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." Hey, listen, you want answered prayer? There's only one person that can answer your prayer, and His name is Jesus. Many times you may have prayed and asked God to do something for you or in you, and God didn't do it. You need to understand very clearly that the way to be successful in the Christian life, the way to keep your decisions, is to be clean through God's word. It's to have answered prayer. It's to bear fruit, but you can't have any of that if you will not choose simply to walk with God. Notice what else he says in verse number 11. This is interesting. "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you." That means stay in you. That means when you go home, the same joy that some of you had caught this week from Jesus is the same joy you can have when you're at home, no matter the situation that's at home. You know, it's interesting to me. It's always interesting. At the end of the week, I would love to take a picture of you watching or listening during the preaching versus how you look during the preaching on Monday night. I'd love to do that. And I would never put it up on the screen for public, but I would love to show you what has changed here because of what has changed here. Understand, young person, that's not because you had a fun week. But when you simply allow God to work in your heart, now you know that joy is found in Jesus. Some of you are experiencing more joy than you've had all year because you finally figured out what to do with the hurt that's been done to you. Some of you are experiencing more joy right now, not because you're going to sleep in your own bed tonight and finally get some clean clothes, but because you've made decisions for God this week, and you've gotten rid of that sin, and you've confessed it, and you're thinking, "Man, this is a pretty wonderful way to live." Now, some of you, you haven't found that joy yet, because you know the decisions that God wants you to make, and yet you haven't made them yet. Get this. When you go home, you still have the privilege and the opportunity to make decisions for Jesus. Because the same God that did a work this week is the same God who says He'll go with us no matter where we go. He says, "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee." God doesn't leave you, but if you choose to leave God, you need to understand something. You can't keep your decisions. He says here, you need to be connected to the vine. You need to be connected to Jesus. You need to keep walking with Jesus. You want to keep your decisions? You can't. He can't. You say, "Brother Glenn, I don't get that." If you want to keep the joy still have answered prayer. If you want to see God do things in your life, you're going to have to choose to just walk with Jesus. You say, how do I do that? Now are you clean? Through the Word. You're going to have to stay in the Word of God. You say, well, listen, I don't have a Bible reading program when I go home, Brother Glenn. They don't give me a book to take home. Hey, that's okay. You can read, right? I mean, some of you can't. All right. The rest of you must have been homeschooled or something. All right. So I'm just teasing. You know that. Hey, listen. You can read. Start in the book of John. Read a few verses every day. Get a notebook and write down what God's doing in your life. The same way you do when you have your quiet time, your God and I time. You say, well, listen, is it that big of a deal? Some of you made decisions this week to be in the Bible more. And you may do that for the first few days. But if you want to see God continue His working in you when you go home and you want to keep your decisions, you have to understand you can't do it because you're a broken thing. You're made of dust. You have nothing inside of you that can help you please Jesus. That's why you need Jesus living in you so you can please God. The Bible says all throughout the Word of God that we need Him. I even love how He says, walk in the Spirit. Ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Get this. If you do not choose to stay connected to Jesus when you go home, you will not be able to keep your decisions. But if you connect to Jesus, guess what? You can keep your decisions because you're placing your dependence, your trust, in the only one who can give you victory. Let's put it this way, and then we'll go to the next thing. You ready? The same way you trusted Jesus for heaven is how you're supposed to live the Christian life. By trusting in Jesus. You can't. He can. Number two, notice what the Bible says. Let's go to verse number three. Verse number three, He says, now are you clean through the Word. You say, well, wait a minute. I thought we already talked about that. We're clean through the Word. Yes, that's what God does. But we have to understand that it's more than just what God does. God has already given us instructions in the Bible on how to live. He doesn't just clean us, but now He tells us how to stay clean. I want you to turn with me real quickly to the book of Psalm. Psalm 37, you got to see this because this is really, really, really good. Psalm 37, and we're almost done. Notice what He says in Psalm 37, verse number 31. Psalm 37, verse number 31. This is amazing. I didn't learn this verse until a couple years ago, and it has radically changed my life. Psalm 37, verse number 31. Notice what the Bible says. The law of God is in His heart. Okay, let's stop there. Many of you memorized Scripture this week, and you put it here. That is wonderful. That is great. Now you need to shift it from here to here. This is not just about memorizing verses so you can get points. But verses are more than just about putting them in your head and then after camp they go away. This is about learning to live by God's Word, God's instruction manual. Have you ever not followed the instructions? I took a test one time in college. I actually didn't read the instructions. You know what the instructions said? If you read the instructions at the top of the page said, read every question, answer none, and turn it in. You know what over 90% of us in the class did? We answered the questions. Did you know that every question we answered because we didn't follow the instructions, we got wrong? Thankfully, the teacher was nice enough just to use it as an illustration and not put it on our grade. But I learned very quickly. I should have followed the instructions. It would have made things an awful lot easier. Hey, some of you, you are going to be tempted to go back and look at the things that you got victory over this week. You want real victory? Then it's time to follow God's instructions. And part of God's instructions is make not provision for the flesh. You want to have victory? You need to get rid of those things that you know are tempting. You need to go back to the Bible. I can't keep my decisions, but he can when I walk with him. And the one of the ways that I walk with him is I read the instructions, and then get this, I follow it. Have you ever not followed the instructions? I watched some of you this week on the ball field. And you know who you were. He said, do this, and you did something different. No wonder we had problems. You say, well, listen. Is it really necessary for me to obey the instructions every time the Bible says it? Do I really have to obey it? Do you want victory, or do you want to commit spiritual suicide? Do you want to shoot yourself in the foot? And by the way, you can recover from spiritual suicide, but you need to understand very clearly that the consequences of sin are always real. They're always lasting. They don't just affect you. They affect people around you. Let's explain it this way. Several years ago, I was preaching at a camp up in the mountains. They had a creek similar to the sulfur that you might see on other sides of the property. And this big sulfur creek was running through the property, and I was beginning, it was springtime, I was beginning to have issues with my allergies, and I would get up and preach, and when I did, I would say, I was so clogged up, my sinuses, oh man, it was terrible. Well, I was really trying to figure out, what am I going to do, because they can't even understand me preach, I have to have some relief. Then all of a sudden I remember, oh yeah, years ago somebody gave me some kind of a nasal spray that's supposed to help with allergies and sinuses. I wonder if I could find that. At the time, I didn't have a truck, and somebody had given me a soccer mom minivan. Yeah, that'll question your manhood, driving a soccer mom minivan around the country. So I went out of the camp property. I went to my soccer mom minivan. I opened the glove compartment, and I found this nasal spray. All right. I actually did read the instructions. You know what the instructions were? The instructions were stand upright and spray one squirt in each nostril. Now, I've been told by my doctors that I need to many times double the dosage for the medicine I take because of my high metabolism. All right, doctor's order. So I should have asked the doctor about this before I did it, and I didn't. So what I did was I decided I'd lay down because I really, really, really wanted this nasal spray to go deep, and I wanted it to work well. It said one squirt in each nostril. I was desperate. I figured if I do three or four squirts in each nostril, maybe that'll take care of the problem. I laid down. I put three squirts in each nostril, and guess what? I thought I was going to die. I mean, all of a sudden, my head began to grow. I could feel it. And then I could feel my heart beating in my head. And then I began to weep. I'm not a weeper, but I began to weep. I began to weep more than I ever had before. I thought, you got to be kidding me. This is worse than the congestion I had to begin with. Then I took the bottle after I had regained some of my composure. And I turned it around. And for the first time, I noticed on the front of this nasal spray bottle, it had two red peppers insignied on the front of the spray bottle. I thought, uh-oh, I think I've just made a big mistake. You know what I did with that bottle? I threw it in the trash can. I'm offering it. You didn't save it for later. What is wrong with you? No, I didn't save it for later. I threw it away. But I've learned this since then. If I were to have just followed the instructions, it probably would have helped me in a great, great way. Some of you will go home and you will choose not to follow the instructions of God's word. And you will find yourself wondering, why didn't my decision stick? Because you didn't follow the instruction manual. Young person, get this. God wants you to choose his side. And God wants the very best for your life. But in order to have God's best, you must place your dependence not on you to keep your decision, but on your obedience to the one who wants to help you keep your decision. And then you need to simply follow his direction. You say, I want my decisions to last till next year. Then place your dependence in Jesus and fix your eyes on his directions. You say, is it that simple? The answer is yes. Why? because he says in John 15, without me, ye can do nothing. Don't go home and try to do it by yourself. Don't go home and try to figure out the Christian life. Don't go home and just try to keep your decisions. Instead, live in obedience of the decisions that God put on your heart this week. Ask God for help. Stay close to Jesus and stay in His Word. And young person, when you choose to simply walk with Jesus, stay in His Word, just simply be willing to do anything and then be obedient in everything, you'll find that a good God who may help you this week, who gave you peace and joy and cleansing this week, that same God can go home with you. And that same God can continue His working. When you go home, He can continue His working from now to next year. And He can do incredible things. The law of God is in His heart. And none of His steps shall slide. Just walk with God. How? By clinging to Him. How do you know what He wants? By following His directions.